Please join with me for a moment of prayer.
Our beloved Father in heaven, for the day and each blessing and opportunity, we give Thee thanks. We thank Thee for the rain that we've had and for the way in which come, that it's soaked into the ground, and ask Thee to continue to bless us with that which we need and withhold it when we don't need it. O Lord, we thank Thee for all the blessings we have for Jesus and for what Jesus has done for us. He's redeemed us from our sins. He's the mediator between us and Thee. And He'll come someday in the resurrection to take us home to be glorified as He and Thou art glorified, and we'll be in that blessed state forever. Now, O Lord, we thank Thee that we're blessed to know these things. We can rejoice in them and have a desire to worship Thee for what Thou hast done for us. And, O Lord, bless us, we pray, to worship this day in spirit and in truth, to honor and glorify Thee and edify one another, we pray. Bless, we pray, those who've asked an interest in prayer and all for whom we should pray. And all of this we ask in the name of Jesus, and amen.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite your attention to the Gospel of according to John, chapter 8, and I want to read verses 56 through 58. Again, it's the Gospel according to John, chapter 8, and verses 56 through 58. And these verses read, Jesus is speaking, and He said, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see My day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto Him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, I want to use for text this morning, verse 56. And it reads again, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see My day, and he saw it, and was glad. Now, the companion text that I would like to use for this is in Genesis 52, I beg your pardon, there's not that many chapters in Genesis, beg your pardon. Genesis 22 and the first 18 verses. I'm not going to turn over to read these verses, these 18 verses, but I will refer back to them. So I'm going to keep my hand on there. There are a few other scriptures I'll turn to, but I'm going to keep there. But in, just to give you some of the some things that went on, that are recorded rather, in Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 1, God told Abraham to go to a place where He would show him and offer his son Isaac for a burnt offering. Abraham went, and they went to the place where God showed him, and he took his knife back to take the life of his son Isaac, as God had said, to offer him for a burnt offering. And as he did that, or when he did that, then the angel of the Lord told him to stay his hand. And when Abraham stayed his hand, he turned around and looked, and there was a ram with its horns caught in a thicket. And then he offered that ram in the place of his son Isaac. Now, we'll say more of things that are in that chapter as we go, and I'll read different verses there, but not all 18 verses. All right? Abraham offered Isaac by faith. Yeah, I said that on purpose in the way. Abraham offered Isaac by faith. Right? To turn over there, to see this rather, look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 17 through 19. Again, the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 17 through 19. All right, Hebrews 11 verses 17 through 19. And these read, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. All right, so this passage of Scripture says that Abraham offered Isaac. Now, I told you just a minute ago, as a more or less summary, a few high points of Genesis chapter 22, that Abraham did not offer Isaac, but in his mind, in his heart, he was obeying God, and he did so much as drawing that back of the knife to take the life of Isaac, and that his intent was to do that. And so, and this is what we have in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, he offered Isaac. And then, he was willing to do that because he knew that God, if he told him to offer Isaac, and also he told him before, he was the promised seed, and Isaac would his seed be called, then God was able to raise Isaac from the dead, even if he took his life. And I hadn't thought about that. Not only took his life, but offered him for a burnt offering, God was able to raise him from the dead. So Abraham did that by faith, all right? Isaac is a representation of us in our sins. We are all sinners. In Romans 3, verse 23, we find, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I remember Beverly Hillbillies. Granny Clampett didn't know a lot about change and everything, so maybe it was $15.25, and that was the price of whatever it was. And so she said, well, I thought I'd give him the benefit of the doubt, so I gave him two dimes and a nickel. And the cashier said, you're short. I may be, but I can have you. But anyway, the idea is she was short. That is, she didn't have enough there. And the idea is when we sin and come short of the glory of God, that is, we have not attained. None of us have ever attained, nor could we ever attain the glory of God. Someone has to do that for us. And that's what I want to try to preach to some degree this morning. And by nature, we are dead in sin. We're dead because of sin. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And so we are all, by nature, dead in trespasses and sins. Death, obviously, means inability. That is, think about this. Isaac was bound with a rope. Abraham bound Isaac with a rope. Death also means separation. That is to say that when we lose a loved one, and most of us have had that experience, when we lose a loved one, there's a separation between us and the loved ones who's passed away. And because of sin, by nature, we're dead in trespasses and sins. There's a separation between us and God. Now, thank the Lord, though there's a separation, go back to Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And the word quickened is translated from a Greek word which means to be made alive. You see, we were dead in trespasses and sins, but we are no longer dead in trespasses and sins because we have been quickened. That is, we have been made alive. All right? Abraham, now Isaac represents us in our sins. Abraham saw the ram as a substitute for Isaac. The ram was sacrificed, and Isaac was set free. And that is the type of Christ or Jesus as the substitute or God's substitute for us. One of the most, I say, profound verses of Scripture is Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. And it reads, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. You see, my brothers and sisters, we cannot attain to the glory of God. We've come short, as I read in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. But I tell you what, we could not do for ourselves. Jesus did for us. When he went to the cross of Calvary and he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Jesus. And so he is our substitute. Abraham said that God, concerning this, Abraham said that God would provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And that, by the way, is in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8. And Isaac had asked about this, and as reply we find in Genesis 22 verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, that is to the place where the sacrifice was to be made. Now, notice this. Abraham did not say God would provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering, but rather God would provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so in that verse of Scripture, Abraham was prophesying of Jesus. Now, notice the expression in verse 13, Genesis 2 and verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Behold, he saw a ram with his horns caught in a thicket. An older minister, I remember a number of years ago, made this statement and said, listen, there's no way in this world by nature that that ram would have had his horns caught in a thicket. Now, I assume he studied that, and I don't think, knowing him as well as I did, I don't think he would have said that if he didn't have some study to find out that was indeed the case. No, there's no way in the world that that was going to happen. And yet, it happened. Behold, a ram caught in a thicket. Now, it reminds me of an expression in John chapter 1 and verse 29, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, and a portion of that verse reads, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, Abraham said, behold, there was a ram that was caught in the thicket. And that's a picture, a representation of Jesus Christ and what Jesus would do for us. And then John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the word behold, sometimes in the Scriptures anyway, means to stand and gaze at something wide-eyed as if indeed looking at in amazement. All right, so there was that substitution. Abraham rejoiced in seeing Isaac's substitution. He no doubt was burdened about the sacrifice of Isaac. Look in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2, where God said to him, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And so God told Abraham to offer his only son Isaac. Now, Isaac was not Abraham's only son. There was Ishmael that was born before Isaac, and then after Sarah died, Abraham married a woman by the name of Keturah, and there were several sons that were born of Keturah. And yet, in one sense, they didn't count. Abraham loved them, but they weren't promised sons as Isaac was. Isaac was the only promised son. All right? Now, Abraham loved his other sons, but Isaac was special. He was Sarah's son, and he was God's only promised son, at least for Abraham. Now, that is of little sons. Now, I'll say this. Isaac's sons, Jacob and Esau, would also be called sons of Abraham, the way it's mentioned in the, though we call them grandsons, but yet in the Scriptures they're called sons. All right. Now, I'll leave there. All right? But Isaac was God's only promised son to Abraham. Abraham rejoiced in not having to take Isaac's life. There's no doubt in my mind about it. In the substitution, he was able to see the day of Jesus Christ. That's what it means when he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Again, that's John chapter 8, verse 56. But when Abraham saw this ram as a substitute for Isaac, and he could take that ram instead of Isaac and offer him for a burnt offering, that made Abraham rejoice. And listen, brothers and sisters, we, like as Abraham was burdened about the sacrifice or offering of Isaac, we get burdened because of our sins. And we can rejoice when we see that Jesus died in our place. That is, Jesus died to redeem us from our sins. And we can rejoice better when we know what sinners we are, as the thief on the cross. Look with me, rather, if you will, in Luke chapter 23 and verses 39 through 43. Again, Luke chapter 23 and verses 39 through 43. And these verses read, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and others. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This thief, we kept Jonah considering to be at the right of Jesus. This thief went through pain and agony because of crucifixion being a terrible form of capital punishment. And yet he could rejoice because that day he would be with Jesus in paradise. That is, his spirit and soul would be with the spirit and soul of Jesus in paradise. And so we can rejoice in what Jesus has done for us. All right? Abraham was given promises, and those are in Genesis chapter 22 and verses 17 and 18. And they read that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, think about this, brothers and sisters. God promised Abraham's seed would be as a sand upon the seashore. And I believe that's his earthly seed. I believe it's the nation of Israel. As I thought about this and studied and meditated, I don't think he meant Ishmael and those descendants of him. I don't think he was including there the sons of Keturah and their sons and so forth. But I think he was referring to Isaac, because Isaac was the promised son or the promised seed. He was referring to Isaac. That is, the nation of Israel would be as a sand upon the seashore. And then God promised Abraham's seed would be as the stars of the heaven. And I understand that refers to Abraham's spiritual or heavenly seed among all people. That is, among Jews and Gentiles, all the nations of the earth. In fact, in one of the prophecies concerning this, either to Abraham, either or Isaac or Jacob, one or the other, it says, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Not just the nations, but in thy seed, that is in Jesus, will all the families of the earth be blessed. And his spiritual seed would be because of Jesus. Look back at verse 18, and it says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. That is, it wasn't in Isaac nor in the nation of Israel as a whole, but rather one particular promised one, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. And him would all the nations and families of Jews and Gentiles be blessed. And thank the Lord for that. All right. Abraham said he and Isaac would go yonder and worship. Now, I thought about back when we first started supplying here after we left Flint River. I could stand on the front porch and see several hills over in the distance. And I could say, well, I'm going over yonder. Well, I wouldn't know how to get there, but I could say that. But now, those trees that are across the road there, they've grown up some, and there's not a whole lot you can see over there, so I'm not sure if I can say I'm going over yonder or not. But the idea of yonder is a word that means something at a distant place that can be seen. And so Abraham said, I'm going over yonder. We are going yonder and worship. And they could see Jesus afar off with their spiritual eyes. And they glorified God for the substitution that would come later. All right? We, as Abraham, we can go yonder and worship. That is, we can see Jesus by faith yonder behind us on the cross. None of us ever see that with our natural eyes, but with the eyes of faith, we can see Jesus there on the cross of Calvary. And not that Jesus just simply died on the cross, but he died for his people. And each one of us can say, Jesus died for me. Jesus shed his blood. Jesus gave his life to redeem me from my sins. And so we can, by faith, we can say, look yonder and see Jesus there on the cross for us. And we worship the Lord for that particular reason. Now we can see Jesus by faith yonder ahead of us in the resurrection. And we worship the Lord for that particular truth. And worship is to be in spirit and in truth. Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and verse 23 that we are to worship in spirit and in truth. And Jesus is that truth because of what he said in John chapter 14 and verse 6. And a portion of that is that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. We worship God in spirit and in truth. And in our worship, Jesus Christ is to be honored and glorified. All right? Abraham gave a name to that place. And that's in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14. And it reads, And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. Alright, so Jehovah Jireh means, obviously from the scriptures, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. It was in the land of Moriah, and the temple was built there on Mount Zion, in that land of Moriah, where Abraham purposefully, anyway, offered Isaac his son, and then offered the ram in his stead. That the temple was built there. And Jesus was offered on the mountain. Calvary or Golgotha, one or the other. Jesus was offered on a mountain. And the kingdom of God is compared to a mountain. Look with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 2. And I want to read verses 2 and 3. Again, the book of Isaiah, prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. And these read, And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. All right, and we see, listen, brothers and sisters, when we're in the kingdom of God, when we're close to God, it is then in those times when we can see Jesus and rejoice at what Jesus has done for us. It also means, well, before I give you this definition, there's another definition I found. I remember the late Elder Woodrow Beasley, and those of us that knew Brother Woodrow loved Brother Woodrow. He and I were ordained at both at Oakey Grove. And when I was ordained, Brother Woodrow was the moderator of the presbytery. And then when Brother Woodrow passed away, I had a part in his funeral, and along with several other family members. I love Brother Woodrow, and any of that knew Brother Woodrow loved Brother Woodrow. But I remember his making a statement years ago. I don't even remember where, probably Oak Grove, but he said it means the Lord will provide. And I got a definition that's very similar to it, and which says, and I'm really the same, it says, it also means the Lord will see to it. That is, the Lord will make sure this happened. And Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8, again, it reads, And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And that is, God will see to it, and therefore, since God will see to it, it will come to pass. Just exactly as God has intended for it to come to pass. And I remember that expression. A preacher preached on that a number of years ago, and he said this. He said, that's one of the most profound expressions that's found in the Word of God. And it came to pass. That is, God had intended for it to be, and it came to pass just exactly as God intended for it to be. You may remember the verse of Scripture that we hear a good bit at Christmas time, and it came to pass that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Well, I don't know of any verse of Scripture that even in passing in the Old Testament gives anything like that. But God said it would be that way so that His will might be done. That Mary and Joseph would come to Bethlehem, and they had to, won't get into that, but they had to come to Bethlehem, and Jesus would be born in Bethlehem or another way of expressing that is, the bread of life would be born in a city, which means the house of bread. You see, God brought that to pass. All the unbelieving Jews that despised Jesus and the powers at Rome, they could not do one thing about it because their own laws decreed that Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. And so, thank the Lord, my brothers and sisters, it will come to pass. All the things that God has said would happen, that Jesus would do, it has come to pass. And therefore, we can look forward to the resurrection and say, well, God is a promise-keeping God. Therefore, it will also come to pass. Now, let me give you just a brief summary about this. And that is, as Abraham rejoiced to see Jesus by faith, we should also rejoice to see him now by faith as God's substitution for us. And that he's coming again at the end of this world for us. As Abraham was willing to give to the Lord something as precious as Isaac, we should be willing to deny ourselves everything that may come between us and the Lord. That is to put the Lord first in our lives. And then thirdly, we should live by faith as Abraham. Abraham did these things by faith. Remember, by faith, Abraham offered Isaac, and that's just one thing that Abraham did by faith. But Abraham obeyed God by faith. God help us, my brothers and sisters, to realize that this is the Word of God, to believe it by faith, and that everything that God has said for us is the truth of God, and God help us to live it in our lives, is my prayer for Christ's sake.